Nick Lawrence from Mid-Major Madness back here again with another conference preview. Today we have Jim Ferry, head coach of the UMBC Retrievers. How are you doing, Coach Ferry?
Great, Nick. How about yourself, man?
Doing pretty well. So, I mean, last season was your first year in Cadenceville. You got the conference title game in your first season. Just talk about what it meant as a program to have that happen so quickly.
Yeah. Well, you know, expectations here, you know, they're always pretty high, right? And coming in, I had expectations to try to keep this program at that level, try to take it to a higher level. And, you know, a ton of adversity that we had last year that a lot of people don't even realize it. But, you know, we got shut down right around Christmas time. We went 25 days without doing anything. And then, you know, I think 15 days without a practice. It was crazy. So for us to recover, you got to give these guys credit, you know, because what we did is we talked coming out of Christmas was like just never was it more important to focus on just getting better than it was last year for us because, you know, we had to start all over. We had to get back in conditioning. We had to get back in shape. We had to get back playing together. I think our first game back, we only had one 5-on-5 practice before we started league play. So, you know, the kids gave them credit because they really believed in each other and trusted and really just focused on getting better. And that was our message. Like, don't look at the record. Don't look at the standings. Let's just keep focusing on getting better. And then when the season ends, regular season ends, we'll, you know, we'll see where we land and what's our matchup. And for us, fortunately, we kept plugging and we, you know, we finished in second place by ourselves. And then, you know, got to that championship game, which is always hard to do. And to do that, you got to give these guys credit.
Yeah, I mean, if I recall correctly, didn't you say during that, like, December little break, you guys had no more than six guys? So you just had, you couldn't really practice up against each other, right?
No, we couldn't. We legitimately were down to three people. Everybody had tested positive for COVID. And not only did we test positive, but we all had symptoms. Like, we all got knocked around pretty hard, including myself. So it was like the recovery was different for each guy. So I think we had 5-on-5 for like an hour the day before we played Lowell to open up league play. And then we had so many games where we, you know, you played every other day. So it was really hard to get practice times in. So we just had to try to get better as we were playing games. And like I said, it was a challenge, but the guys really hung tough and we really did. We got better and better. And, you know, I think the way we played came back to us. Near the end of the year, we were, you know, I don't know how many games we scored, 90, certainly over 80, a bunch of games, 15 times. I think we scored over 85 points or something like that. So, you know, we finally got in the groove of who we are, what we're going to do, how we're going to do it. And we rode it to the finals. Obviously, we played a great Vermont team, and then we just, you know, they overwhelmed us in that championship game.
Yeah, and I mean, this year it's pretty much a new team, but you got players like Yaw coming back and Jacob Bunyasith, and you had Trey Edwards and Anyang Garang there as on the sidelines. Just talk about what players like that need to do leadership-wise heading into the season.
Yeah, well, I think college basketball is going to be different this year just in general. I think there's a lot of people with a lot of new guys. You know, like we brought in, what, eight? I think Vermont brought in seven. I know Bryant brought in a bunch of new guys. So it's almost like every year is going to be my first year, or certainly like this year is going to be the first year again because – you know, guys like Jacob, fantastic player. He had great experience for us. Yao started a lot of games, got experience for us. But Trey and AG, both those guys, they got didn't even practice. They're both injured in the preseason. One was a torn Achilles and the other one a torn patella. So those guys, really, when you look at it, we have really two or three guys back that actually played a little bit last year. So everybody else is kind of new. We have some older guys we brought in and some grad transfers and some transfers in general. Got a couple of freshmen. So, you know, we had to use the summer. We had to be very efficient with our summer workouts to make sure we're starting to implement things and also working on getting these guys better.
Yeah, I mean, touching off that, you really dug into the portal, not just D1 guys, but non-D1 guys. Craig is someone that really intrigues me coming over from Cleveland. They didn't play last year. I mean, you also got like Colton Lawrence from up north up there, D2, D3 guy. Just talk about those guys.
Yeah, well, you know, Craig Bedoin, he played at Cleveland State, so he was the starting point guard on that championship team that went to the NCAA tournament. And then last year, only played like four games before he broke his ankle. So he had another year left, rehabbed himself. You know, it's going to be a little bit different, right? We went from Darnell Rogers, who was, you know, the smallest player in probably Division I history at the point, to Craig, who's almost 6'4".
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a different type of point guard, and I think we're going to be able to do some things differently, especially defensively, that will fit us better. Colton Lawrence is a Division II transfer from Bentley College. I worked at Bentley years ago when I first got into the business for Jay Lawson, who's still there, and that's an elite Division II program. I've gone to multiple Elite Eights and Final Fours, and the kid's just a winner, a competitor, really knows how to play. So we're talking about those two guys, just a lot of experience, a lot of winning, competitors, physical. So really excited about bringing these two guys in, and both of them had a fantastic summer.
And something we saw this offseason is you're really hitting recruiting hard, the 2023 guys, the 2024 guys. Is that something you plan on with the future UMBC, trying to get it up from the freshmen, just develop them from there?
Yeah, I think I'm always going to want to recruit freshmen. I know the college game has changed and the portal and guys transferring. And this year I think it was a little unique because we had so many guys that were already on their extra year last year that had graduated. We had two guys that basically had eligibility that went pro. So, you know, at the end of the year, we had a bunch of scholarships available. But I'm always going to want to start recruit, you know, with some freshmen and have some foundation and have the culture of a program that can continue to grow. But, you know, I think we all just don't know where it's going to go, right? This is the first year of it. We'll see where it goes over the next couple of years. But ultimately, we're going to recruit to put the best team and the best group of guys that can represent our university on the court. So whatever way we have to do it, we're going to do it. The two freshmen we have this year, you know, we love them. Great. Kid Mason Dox is a phenomenal basketball player. Kid from the Michigan area, went down to Texas a little bit back in Michigan. An explosive guard, you know, lead guard, point guard, you know, really playing the open floor, great quickness. Deion Brown, 6'4", tremendous athlete. But Deion, he tore his ACL last season at Vermont Academy in prep school, so he's still rehabbing his way back right now. So, but two really talented kids that I see a great future for those guys here.
Yeah, and like you kind of mentioned, this is the first team of your guys. A lot of the guys really carried over from Ryan Odom last year. So what should we expect? Are you still going to shoot the rock like you did last year, put up all those points?
Yeah, I mean, that's the plan. We're going to play the same. My teams have always played this way. You know, going back to Delphi and LIU, we were always a high-scoring, high-octane team. You know, play a lot of pace, a lot of space, and we're always going to play that way. You know, last year, I didn't even think we had the right tools to do it. I thought we got better at it. We still led the team in scoring. We led the league in scoring last year in our first year with guys that had to make a big adjustment, right? Like Ryan's teams walked the ball up the court, really play-oriented. We were really more playing with pace, and I thought those guys did a really good job to adjust to it. So I think we've done a pretty good job of recruiting to the style of play that we want to play at this year. So, you know, it's going to play out pretty soon. We're going to see.
Yeah, and then talk about the addition of Brian in the league. Obviously, you coached against him in the NEC. And then Jared Grosso mentioned to me yesterday that he's known you since your prep year. You played for his dad at prep school. So just talk about knowing Jared and him having him in the league and going up against the old foe and Brian.
Yeah, so when I was at – some of that information is wrong. Maybe you misunderstood it. But
maybe,
yes, yeah. I coached against Bryant when they were in the NEC. Also coached against them when they were in the NE10 in Division II. Mm-hmm. But with Jared – so Jared's dad was a high school coach at a rival school. His dad was a high school coach at Jericho High School. And – I went to a rival school, and our head coaches were best friends. So I used to go out to Jericho a lot, and Jared's dad used to work me out all the time when I was younger. Freddie Grosso, great legendary coach on Long Island, great athlete, great person. Besides, my high school coach was a big influence on helping me develop. So I've known Jared, you know, since he's been a little kid. That's how old I'm getting, I guess. So Jared would be running around the gym when he was little and we were all playing, working out with his dad. And what's even funnier is Jared's brother has been my kid's guidance counselor in their high school on Long Island. So we've had a connection for a long time. It's really been enjoyable for me to see Jared's growth in this game. You know, he was always a good player and then getting to college ranks. And He's really excelled. He worked for one of my dear friends at Iona, a guy, Timmy Clouse, who's a good friend of mine. And Timmy and I used to coach our sons on the same AAU team. And so, you know, watching Jarrett work for him and then Jarrett getting the opportunity to be head coach, and really doing a fantastic job playing a really exciting style of basketball. So they're gonna be good, man. I think that's a great addition for our league. Bryant's a great school. It's in a great location. And obviously a program just coming off winning a conference championship. So I think it's a great addition for our league. And I look forward to coaching against Bryant and Jarrett and his teams. And, I think it's always great when you can add good teams to your conference.
Yeah, that's awesome. I definitely got some of that information wrong. I heard prep, and that's kind of where I went on from there. So
It was close. It was high school, when he helped me out. I was close with his dad. And his dad passed away a couple of years ago. It's been a tough loss for Jarrett, but for all of us, all Long Island guys. His dad was a major influence in Long Island basketball for us guys growing up.
Yeah, rest in peace. And then this season, you're going to Tulane. That's the first time in program history that UMBC is going to Tulane. And you're also playing at Maryland, the first time in a couple of years. Last time, almost ended up beating them under Ryan Odom, had the lead in the second half. Just talk about playing those two teams.
Yeah, well, we want to build our schedule to be really challenging to help us just get ready for the, the America East tournament, America East season. That's what it's all about. Especially this level, right? Most of the time, only getting one bid. So you got to make sure your team's playing really good basketball. So, we're putting together a really challenging schedule. We're going to open up the season going down to Tulane. They have a potential NBA player on their team, and it's going to be a tough environment to play in. And then, we're going to play at Maryland. We're going to play at Georgetown. Obviously, prior to the coaching change, I was pretty familiar with Maryland, having coached against them when I was at Penn State, and we've had a lot of success against Maryland when I was at Penn State, but now, a little bit different, different coaching staff, so we'll see. So, and then always, Georgetown really put it to us last year at their place. So it's, again, we put together a challenging schedule that we're going to try to continue to work on and just focus on getting better every day.
And then lastly, just talk about the rest of the America East.
Yeah, great conference. And last year, man, that was a really grueling conference because you look at it like Vermont, phenomenal, might have been maybe the best team ever in the America East. They arguably could have been. I mean, John's done a fantastic job, and they were big, they were physical, and to go 17-1 in conference play, man, that's phenomenal. Then we had a little bit of separation at second, but it was a big gap between us and Vermont, and then everything else was just combined. It was so tight of, it came out of so many different tiebreakers. Everybody was kind of equal. So that's a sign of a great conference. Got some great coaches, really good players. Now you can look at, obviously there's some change, with a lot of transfers, guys leaving, but I think we've all done a really good job in the transfer pool to bring in really good players into this league, And then you look at UMass Lowell, I think they're going to be really good. I mean, they probably have the most people back. So I think that continuity is going to help them. So, Binghamton came on last year, did a great job. Albany, new coach had a good run. So again, it's a really good league. Billy Herrien up in New Hampshire. No one ever wants to play against his team, right? So it's NJIT has improved dramatically over since they first came in. It's a great league. I love being in the league. Like I said, great camaraderie amongst the coaches. We have great coaches in the league. Got great players in the league. And again, it's just going to come down to who's really playing the best at the end of the year.
Yeah, it's any given night in that league, I think. I love when, Lowell comes to town because, Lowell has a whole bunch of DMV guys, so there's always a nice little atmosphere there. There's a whole bunch of little hidden rivalries in the league that many people don't know about, and it's great.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I don't necessarily like when Lowell comes because of the problems. Of course, some problems. Even in that playoff game, we had to use overtime. But I think it'd be really good. No, I think it's I might have left Maine out, but we got a new coach. He's done a really fantastic job. He knows the league, the league keeps getting better and better, which I think is great for everybody.
Yes, sir. Well, that's all I got for you. I appreciate you taking these couple minutes and talking with us.
Awesome.
Thank
right, man. Enjoy the rest of whatever we got left of this summer.
Yes, sir.
Past Labor Day weekend. We'll see you soon.
Yes, sir. I'll talk to you later.
All right, Nick. Thanks.